podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Damien, are you surprised to see this dude blow?
A little.
I'm a little surprised too, because it was 120 seconds ago. I didn't know he was going to be here. I wrote to him a few hours ago, and he's been playing tennis. Vansh, I think first of all, you need to tell us about your tennis match.
Well, I didn't actually play a match.
Your tennis experience. Did you kick somebody's butt?
I won practice games.
Damien says practice games mean nothing.
But I think we played four games, four tie breaks. I won three of them. We also played like games to 11, ground stroke warm-up games. I think I won all three, so that's good.
Against someone we would know or not?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was going to be like Gil Gross or...
Brandon Nakashima. Yeah.
Milos Raonic.
Yeah, you know, about the same level, right?
So we're here to... we're going to fill in the gaps. A lot of people might go, well, you know, you had your WTA and ATP weeklies, which obviously touched on Indian Wells, and I've done... I've actually completed both my prediction videos where I sift through the draw and make my thoughts known on basically who I think is going to win the tournament. But there's still a lot of gaps because I haven't really, like post-draw and certainly post-qualifiers, I haven't done a show where I've said, hey guys, what do you reckon? So let's address the draw. And then sort of fill in the qualifying bits afterwards, or maybe a bit of both. Damien, what sticks out to you? Let's begin with the men and we'll do the women in the second half. What sticks out to you into mind when you saw the draw, I guess, 24 hours ago, and then maybe also how it is now with the qualifiers?
Yeah, here is when the tough questions start. Because honestly, like my knowledge of the draw compared to when we do it at the slams is nothing. Like I... More or less, you know some qualifying matchups because I just basically looked at it when I woke up. But otherwise, honestly, I'm not too familiar with it. I mean, now looking at it, Alcaraz, you know, has a pretty okay, like if he beats Arnaldi, has a pretty okay draw. Djokovic obviously has a pretty okay draw, like maybe Humbert standing out, right? If Humbert is going to be that dangerous on these courts even, which I'm not sure if I'm buying into. But as a whole, I just kind of felt like, well, maybe it will be easier for me once we start talking about like a little more specific. But in general, I've just sort of found that, well, we've got 9 ATP 1000 events during the year. And if I just sat down and started focusing on every single draw, like waited for the draw to come out, I would... kill myself. Like it's impossible, you know. I can do it for the slams, yes, but for like ATP thousands, I'm a lot more chill when it comes to the draw.
What about you, Vansh?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of excitement for this one because there's like a lot of build up to it. They obviously do the ceremony like live on the grounds in Indian Wells. There's a lot of people who make the trip out there to watch the qualifying because it is like so marketed. I would say, But yeah, like I think when it comes to the slam breakdowns, I usually do a much deeper dive. I like go quarter by quarter, you know, section by section, 16s, 8s, 32s. You know, here it's more, I just kind of, okay, so-and-so is in this half. Oh, so-and-so is in this quarter. And then that's usually about it. And then we just wait to see who the qualifiers are. That's kind of my approach.
Nolan's calling you irresponsible. Damien, I'm not sure if that's because of the moustache or because you haven't been paying attention to the draw. I see where you're coming from. I would be airing my frustration that the draw isn't live on TV. I would be dissecting it and complaining about easy draws and tough draws. But actually, this last 24 hours, I've kind of let slip by until right now when I've had a bit of a more of a look at it. I mean, the round one match that jumped out for me was Raonic Nadal because of sort of melancholic sort of yesteryear thoughts. Vance, what are we thinking about Raf? I don't know if you saw any of the exhibition he had against Alcaraz on Sunday. Are we more optimistic, less optimistic, or still in the same place?
Kind of in the same place, like still kind of unknown. I need to kind of see him on a match court in this setting. The thing is, when he's actually been playing, he's been playing well. So it's just like, it's a matter of like, can he actually, you know, can he actually still display a lot of those qualities? How well does he move? He seemed to be moving pretty well in Brisbane. But then, you know, then he got hurt against Thompson. Thompson obviously played really well as well. So, kind of a wait and see approach with Nadal. If he's looking to get rhythm, Raonic is not the type of player that you want to play certainly early on. But also, Raonic also has his own injury question marks a lot of the time. So I think it helps that it's at least a familiar matchup, kind of like the one against Team and Brisbane, where at least he knows like what he's sort of expecting. And he does like have the edge if they're both playing their best or close to it. So it's kind of a wait and see approach. I'm very interested to see if he plays Runa in the second round, you know, what that looks like. So I hope he gets through that first match.
Cool. Yeah. Have you got any thoughts on the Rafa run? I mean, I was looking at it earlier thinking the sort of path of the course, the average, the okay return would be a win against Raonic and then a loss to Runa, but he's healthy. Anything more than that, as long as he stays healthy, would be an incredible bonus. But I guess big alarm bells if he gets a bad loss to Raonic, Damien.
I don't know. I mean, if big alarm bells, I mean, depends, I guess, what your expectations are. I guess he didn't sign up for Miami in the end, right? So it's like Indian Wells and then go play clay. So it's like, I mean, yeah, just kind of show up here and see what... Oh, no, he actually is... No, that's Indian Wells. Yeah, what am I looking at? As Nurlan says, we are basically all unprepared. But anyway, yeah, of course, he didn't sign up for Miami. Just to be clear, Nurlan, we don't really, you know, it wasn't like John texted me 24 hours ago saying, let's do this draw show.
It was quite spontaneous.
Yeah, it's a lot more spontaneous. So we are a bit excused. But yeah, what I'm trying to say is that this is just a bit of a, you know, play one event before the clay swing. Like, regardless of how he does here, I think he just travels back to Europe to practice for clay. So this is not the most important match. This is not the most important part of the season. So I would say that maybe how he looks physically is more important than whether he actually beats Raonic or not. And I have a prediction for this match, which is that it will end in the retirement. No, I mean, it's probably not a very serious prediction, but it's very much a possibility, of course, with these two. It is a bit of a retirement home type of matchup. With Raonic recently, I mean, yeah, just struggling to finish whatever match, honestly. And Nadal, yeah, in Brisbane, he looked great. I mean, in Brisbane, he kind of looked like he probably won't be retiring, even if he's, you know, struggling with something. He's probably going to fight until the end. So I guess that's why that prediction isn't that likely, actually. But all in all, I kind of, you know, with Nadal right now, we just sort of have to operate on hunches, gut feelings. My gut feeling is he will actually look a lot better than Raonic physically, and he will win. That is my hunch, but it's basically the hunch territory. We know nothing.
Agree. Are you brave enough to make a prediction for this one, Vance?
I'll go with Rafa. Damien said, I think Raonic hasn't been able to win a lot of completed matches lately, and on these courts, I know Srihari is mentioning like this is his best Masters 1000. Just given the consistency of his results maybe here. obviously with the serve, it kind of makes sense and the ball traveling fast through the air, but yeah, I'm gonna take Rafa.
Last time Raonic played was 2019, just to be clear, right? Like, you know, these things, yeah, they did matter in the day, back in the day, but like right now,
yeah, that's right. That's the last time both of these. No, actually, Rafa played in 2022. Yeah, but yeah, for Raonic 5 years ago, that's great.
Let's hone in on the second best player of all time, Novak Djokovic.
And we just lost our viewers.
Okay. We just lost Jean. And Shihari.
Jean and Shihari. Yeah. No, anyway, it's not a bad draw, is it, for Novak? The first match he'll play will either be the qualifier Mokizuki or Vukic. Who did Mokizuki beat to get this far, Damien?
Oh, Jesus. And again, it was a tough question. It's Benjamin Hassan today, I think. And then yesterday, I mean, Mokizuki. Oh, Diego Schwartzman, of course. The famous Diego Schwartzman.
Oh, once no. Again,
for a perfect draw. I mean, the guy is getting like the best draws every week. Like, it's impossible to be this lucky to get Buruchaga, to get Nava, to get Galan, to get Mochizuki. And well, he still loses to all of these guys. Of course, Kecmanovic kind of doesn't fall into the same category, no. I guess. But even in earlier this year, the only win that he got was against like Jacob Bradshaw or whatever his name was. So yeah, he's really getting amazing draws. But this is not about Diego Schwartzman. This is about Shintaro Mochizuki. And I think the second round for Djokovic couldn't be any easier, really. Like, Vukic is in a terrible slump and he will definitely plateau somewhat. This year, he will definitely fall off after that Atlanta run is off. And Mochizuki, you know, he had that inspired Tokyo run, sure. But has anything changed since in his career? Not really. And I think that this is like literally the easiest Djokovic could have gotten in the second round, which is good for him, obviously. After that, maybe some issues could start, but we've talked about the Djokovic Echeverri matchup a few times, Australian Open, of course, recently, but also Paris and Rome. Zhang, if he gets there, Djokovic has also beaten him somewhat easily recently, right? So I think by the time he gets to like the fourth round and plays, let's say Humbert, Paul, maybe Mickelson, maybe Patrick Kipson. I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, going out on a limb here already. But like whichever of these guys it is in the fourth round, I guess by that point, I would expect Djokovic to be really, you know, in tune already and just able to get to the quarters. It's definitely a nice section for Novak.
And his quarter I saw could be Taylor. Or it could be someone else, I think.
That's Semi. His quarter is Rud, Davidovic, Fokina, Nori, and Hurkacz.
Hurkacz is the quarter.
Okay, Hurkacz, yeah. So I think I have Taylor getting to the quarters against Medvedev, and it was like, which one of these two is going to be Novak's opponent. I also think that probably right now, maybe a year ago I would have said something differently, and for sure 3 years ago I would have said differently, but of the other three players in that quartet, I know he can't play Alcaraz in the semifinals. But still, just looking at those four players who have separated themselves a bit from the pack, at least for now, I think that Medvedev is probably the one he would prefer to play. You might argue, make a case for Alcaraz given his form, but I just think of the three, probably in these conditions, maybe Medvedev is the better person to come up against in the semifinals rather than Yannick or latterly, of course, Carlos. But that's my take. I don't know if you agree with that or disagree, Vansh.
For Novak? Yeah, Novak, I think we'd rather play Medvedev right now.
Yeah, right now, yeah. Okay, I want to just have a quick look at more about this, the draw. Any other standout matches from the first round, Damien, that you think we should give a highlight before I have a quick chat about tomorrow's schedule as well?
Okay, so super quickly, let's maybe say that, well, Ethan Quinn, Patrick Kipson, that's a good one because they met in the Cleveland final recently. And it was definitely an entertaining match. Quinn having a wonderful time in the qualies, beating Alice and Vavasori. Quinn, of course, is the NCAA champion from last year. And otherwise, there was definitely something like Wawrinka Mahac. I think that's clearly a super watchable, just encounter, right? We've also had Nadal, we mentioned. I am very excited to see Nakashima against Eubanks, not necessarily because I think well, Chris Eubanks is great to watch at the moment. However, Nakashima making that main tour return after a while, it's a big story. I think it's very winnable for him as well, despite his return game in general in recent months not looking that amazing. And otherwise, from the first round, definitely Shank Thompson. I think someone mentioned that earlier, maybe Gene, that he is calling Shank to beat Thompson. I like that pick. Like, I know that Jordan has been so good, but Indian Wells, at least on paper, isn't that amazing for him. The only like real advantage to me that he has over Shank is the serve. And on these courts, it could be neutralized. And I think that, yeah, Jerry definitely could have a shot there if he just brings his best, sort of most disciplined, most, let's say, he brings out the variety as well. He could potentially take down Thompson with it, I think. And I guess that would be really it. You know, there's also a number of, because this is, of course, an event that is sort of structured in the way where we have 32 first rounds and 32 second rounds. We could also talk about, like, you know, the potential second rounds, and some of them are definitely quite mouth-watering, like Shelton Benchik. I think obviously that always stands out because you just have two amazing youngsters going at each other. I would love to see Klein against Ruud. Like, that would be a real upset or possibility, regardless really of how Klein looks in the qualifying, how he looks in the first round. Just if he has a good day at the office, this is already, you know, so tough for Casper right away. Casper actually doesn't have a great Indian Wells record, which is kind of a surprise for me, given his simply his game profile. And also whoever Rune plays, right? Raonic or Nadal, that will be a highlight as well.
What about you from the first sort of two or three days, three or four days possibly, with looking at round two as a sort of semi, kind of a round one vanch? Which matches are you interested in? And I'd like to get some calls from you on some matches, but just tell me one or two matches that maybe Damien didn't mention, if you like, or even elaborate on one or two that you did.
Murray Goffin is definitely one that is...
Okay, that's good, because that's on my list. Who's winning that match?
Goffin.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me wants to see Andy, because I want to see him... you know, win a couple of matches just in his feel good year, but honestly, like, this might be the best chance for Goffin to get his first win. Like, I think it could be. I mean, Andy really doesn't like these conditions relative to the other courts, I think, especially at this point in his career, and also with Goffin having just qualified, you know, and having a little bit of momentum. This might be the perfect time for him to get the first win. So, like, that would be one that I would circle. And then, I mean, obviously, I would see Draper Zverev in the second round. You know, maybe that's a good chance for Jack in these conditions. Like, that could be a possible upset for sure. I think the Benchik Shelton is, like, one that immediately stood out. Like, that's.
I mean, I'm not sure if Draper beating Zverev is that a massive upset. I mean, it's a 60-40 for me if Draper's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's how Draper was priced against Deminor in Mexico, right? About 60-40. Yeah. So I think, possibly he would probably be a slightly bigger underdog, but like just slightly. Yeah.
Can Felix win? Looking at Felix? Obviously Lestian or Kudla. Yeah, can he win a match there?
I think he can win one match, definitely. Which section is Lestian Kudla. I would like to see him get to the Alcaraz match.
I'd rather see Alcaraz Lestian.
there's also the
Alcaraz Lestian, that'd be fun.
Which other one is really standing out to me? I mean, you have the Eubanks Nakashima winner potentially playing Lehechka. You know, they've also, Lehechka and Nakashima have had some recent notable battles for sure. So that's definitely one that I'll have my eye on. I guess you also have Puy getting qualifying, you know, for the first time since 2019. I saw. So that's like kind of one of the more under the radar stories, maybe. I don't know what else. I guess Wawrinka Mannarino, Wawrinka against lefties recently has been a bit of a struggle for him.
But he needs to beat Mahatch first.
Yeah, he has to get to Mahatch, which is not going to be easy. Yeah. I think he probably is an underdog against Mahatch.
For sure.
But Safiul and Evans as well, that's also a good match in the first round. Winner to pace Korda, right? So that would be good. I mean, for Medvedev, he also didn't. He kind of got a nightmare draw with Korda and Dimitrov in his section, even before getting to the quarters. And yeah, there is sort of an unknown about how Medvedev is going to play on these courts. We obviously know he hates these conditions, even though he got to the final last year. And he was also riding a huge streak coming in. Not quite the case this time around, even though he did make a slam final and came so close, of course. But yeah, like I think Medvedev is going to be one of the more interesting seeds for sure to watch in the second round as far as like Friday, Saturday matches go.
Okay. Before we sort of look at some bigger picture stuff, and also maybe I'm going to get from both of you some sort of latter stages predictions as well. I'm just having a look at the schedule now for tomorrow. And which was the match that you said to me earlier on, Damien, that you thought you might be able to do a watch-along for?
Eubanks Nakashima, maybe? Yeah, because he offered Kokkinakis, Giron, or Andreeva Volinets. I think this will be same time, really, and probably okay. A better week.
Fine. So Eubanks Nakashima, which I'm just trying to do my... it's going to be, is that 9:15 potentially your time?
It's the second slot. I think it's the second slot. Yeah,
the second slot. Which
so it's actually about 10 probably my time. Yeah.
Yeah, and the first slot is that 8 p.m. your time.
Yes, and for the first week because after that they change time actually. So it's a big mess.
But anyway, at least for the next few days, 8 o'clock Central European time, seven o'clock is the first match, and then the second one will be a couple of hours later, I guess. So yeah, Eubanks Nakashima, that's cool. That's great. Okay, cool. Anyway, just that's nice. So who have we got on tomorrow night session in the arena? Who's up? Is that Pui out mine?
I mean, we have Venus against Hibino, and
on the women's side. Okay, yeah.
No, but there is a men's match. There's a
Zybot Wilch against Wolf.
Oh yeah.
So that's the men's match.
Okay.
On the stadium.
Maybe I'm looking at the wrong stadium. Maybe, but. I don't see it here on my list, but okay, fine.
So say Google is no. Just please stop using schedules on Google. Please stop using Google for schedules.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right, cool. Let's get back to the draw, and I want to get a player for you from both of you, who may, because my quarterfinal lineup, I'm not going to lie, it's quite boring. I mean, it's not Vanch level boring, you know, in terms of like going from 1 to 8 or 1 to 4.
I knew this was coming.
I actually don't have that this time. I think there's going to be a lot more.
Okay, because mine's boring. I think the only person outside the top 8 I have making the quarterfinals is Taylor Fritz. And even he is kind of a top 8 guy in some respects, but maybe even more so Indian Wells. And then if there's anybody who you sort of can see a path, either of you can see a path for the quarters that might sort of stand out as being a surprise. I don't have players like Di Manor or Jordan Thompson, or I'm just trying to think of players who've done quite well recently. I'm trying to think where I had Shelton going out now, actually, looking back. Does he play? Just trying to see what...
Menchik in the second round, so obviously yeah, that's a 50-50. And then, I mean, probably you have him against Sinner in the fourth round.
Okay, that's probably why I have him going out. Yeah. But that's a tough fourth round for Yannick in a way, from the different fourth rounds.
He lost that one in Shanghai, right? Precisely the forefront, I think, as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vanch, any names that I could or should have in my quarterfinal lineup that I don't have, you think?
I'm curious to see who gets out of that Rude, Hurkacz, Davidovich, Fokina, Nori section. Like maybe it could actually be Cam. Maybe Cam can get to the quarters. I think that's not a bad pick. He loves Indian Wells. You know, like the last 3 years, he's like consistently
won the title there, yeah.
Yeah, titles, yeah, quarterfinal, quarterfinal. I mean, last year when he lost to Tiafoe, that was definitely a little bit of a surprise, but because he was in such great form. I mean, I think he could get through here again. I think he could get to the quarters and probably lose to Djokovic.
Where does Rublev fall in all of this, asks Miles. I don't really know. Probably just classic Rublev, fourth round quarterfinal, and then ciao.
Rublev never gets mentions in these draw predictions, in these events, because Like, what do you want? What do you want us to say? You know,
nobody predicts him to win. You know, a tournament like this, even though.
But everybody predicts him to win 3-4 matches, and that's kind of.
Yeah, I have a tough time seeing him get past the quarters, just because also Sinner is this.
Because it's Sinner, yeah.
And
even if it's Shelton or Menchik, honestly, I will have a hard time seeing him past the quarters, honestly.
Yeah, if they are fit
by that time, you know, if they are still fit by the time we reach the quarters, he will have a very hard time beating Menchik or Shelton, I think. So
the big four bookies favorites, I'm not necessarily saying they will all make the semifinals. I think there's some question marks over all of them, maybe less so with Yannick to some extent. But Yannick has never made a final here, although, of course, he has pushed Carlos a year ago in their semifinal. But if Carlos wins this tournament, how surprised would you be, Vansh?
No, not that surprised, because it is Carlos and he loves these conditions. And like, these are the courts that Damien and I both expect him to rack up titles. Like, you know, just because the conditions are just so good for him. And like, high bouncing, slow, it should help his kick serve. But there are still question marks in terms of his preparation. Like, I don't know if he had really had great prep going in, just with the ankle roll in Rio. And then also, I'm not going to take anything from that Nadal match. I mean, they're playing indoors. Like, they were not going all out most of the time, at least. You know, there was definitely some meat on the bone in terms of like how they would compete point in, point out in an actual competitive match with stakes. So I'm not really going to look at that. I don't think his draw is that easy, to be honest. Like, Arnaldi in the first round is not the easiest opponent. And then, you know, maybe his next round, maybe the third round is like maybe the easiest. But if he gets Khachanov instead of Jarry, that would be better for him. But then after that, he's basically
going to go through that. Not sure Jarry will get that.
The Felix shade.
Yeah.
Well, Jarry should be good in Indian Wells, right? And like, at least on paper, Jarry should be enjoying.
So should Khachanov, right? I mean, so should Khachanov. So that's.
Yeah, Khachanov has a very good record. I think Khachanov lost like to Brooksby winning 3 games 2 years ago. But in general, he has a very good Indian Wells record.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. But I don't know who's going to get out of that. Like, if Draper does beat Zverev, you know, is he going to be fit enough to get through Dimonor as well? Because, like, Dimonor shouldn't like these conditions, but, you know, he is kind of playing really elite right now. And, like, he is, like, this is a really good opportunity for him to even push towards the top 5. Because he doesn't have anything to defend. Like, he barely has anything to defend until, like, Queens. So, I mean, like, who do you have him losing to? That's the thing. Like, who do we have Dimonor going out to?
I mean, maybe. Maybe he'll make top 5, but I don't know if Dimonor's a top 5 player even.
No, like,
even
I mean,
if he's playing.
I mean, like, Alex shouldn't lose in the second round, but third round for him is pretty tricky, right? I mean, Bublik, Shank, Thompson, whoever it is, really. But yeah, this section where he's in, like, if Zverev loses to Draper, especially, like, it would really open up. Like, nothing would be certain there anymore. It's a quality section, I think. I don't think it's a good one for him besides the second round, but it's also like no one he can't beat. And I don't really buy into him beating Alcaraz. But yeah, two things I guess that I wanted to touch on from earlier that you said. I think here there are only 3 big favorites. I don't think Medvedev really belongs right now because of the conditions. It might change for Miami, but also because of how he looked in Dubai, the shoulder issue, and how tricky his draw is, because we've seen him struggle many times against Korda by now. Korda seems to have a really good, you know, like a field day attacking him and just closing, opening up all these angles and going to the net whenever he plays him. Then you also have Dimitrov, Mahach, Manar, you know, whoever it will be in the forefront, really is also kind of a bit of a nightmare for him. I mean, honestly, Flavio Coborni's second round, that's also somewhat losable. I don't know. I mean, I know we were all saying that last year, that like in Indian Wells, there's always the possibility of Medvedev just going out to like basically anyone. But last year he had so much confidence. Last year he had so much rhythm going into this event. I just don't know if he's, you know, up there with Djokovic, Sinner, Alcaraz. Out of these 3, Djokovic and Sinner are the ones that don't really have any question marks over them. Alcaraz, because of that lack of prep that Vansh mentioned, I think he'll be fine. But if he loses to Arnaldi in the second round, would we be surprised? No. I mean, Arnaldi is talented enough. I think if Carlos gets through the second round, I would expect him to win a few matches.
Vansh, who's winning the tournament?
Go on, Vanch.
So many people are really high on Ugo and Bear. And I'll just say this, I think it's more likely Dimonor gets to the quarters for sure. Well, of course. Yeah, of course. That's not really a bold take. I mean, Ugo and Bear has Djokovic in the fourth round. But yeah. You know, but even against like Paul or Mickelson, like, I don't know. Like, Umber is a really good fast court player and indoors and grass and, you know, quicker surfaces. But just like Dimonor, I have questions about like Indian Wells plus clay for Umber.
So, wait, what? Because Big John asked you who's winning the event?
Yes. Who's winning?
Yeah, but the thing was, Vanch, so I could already tell Vanch was starting to elaborate on a couple of things, and I kind of spoke over.
I'm kind of avoiding that question, actually. I'm just...
Oh, yeah, that's
another okay.
He's been watching too many politicians in primaries. Super Tuesday.
Okay, I'll say this. I think the winner of Alcaraz Center is going to win the title. I don't know if that's...
Okay, that's still a bit on the fence.
You're not going to get a clearer answer from me because it's pointless. I mean, if someone is giving an answer like that, obviously they're just sort of guessing between, we can say, you know, it's between three players. I would say I would be surprised with a winner that's not Djokovic, Alcaraz, Sinner. I like that Vanch prediction of Alcaraz or Sinner. I think that works for me. I kind of wanted to say Sinner, but it just seems like too much of a fairy tale, you know? For him to win Australian Open, Rotterdam, and Indian Wells, all back to back, like go 18-0 or however it would be, and
then we have to start drawing comparisons to Djokovic 2011. If he wins this, like then it's really on, you know.
I mean,
No, not yet.
No?
Djokovic won all his matches by the French Open. I mean,
but still, that would be pretty incredible.
If he won his first clay court tournament.
I was thinking of like Nadal 2022, actually. That's probably a better...
That would be
a direct comparison, I guess, because they would literally win the same things. So it's also like it would just be a comparison. It wouldn't be something that we would be talking about, you know, potentially for the future. Mm-hmm. I was also thinking of Federer 2017, actually. But yeah, for me, I kind of just wanted to say Sinner. But Djokovic, I think, is also... a bit overlooked by Vanch here, I think. Let's say that.
Not necessarily overlooking him. I wouldn't be shocked if he just, you know, just comes into this mode like he did in Cincinnati and just wins the title. But it's just, I don't know how much motivation he'll have right now at this tournament. Like, maybe I'm dead wrong, but maybe he just won't be... Like, I'm kind of looking at him like just peaking in time for Roland Garros and not so much...
Yeah, like, but it's 3 months until Roland Garros, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Hasn't played here in ages.
Just love him on faster courts. No, maybe it's just I just absolutely just love him on faster courts. I don't know if he'll be like physically ready to. It's Djokovic, so of course, yeah. Like,
do you think Djokovic would rather win a gold medal at the Olympics over two Grand Slams this year?
Rather win the Olympics over two.
Over one, for sure. Two, it becomes a question. I honestly have no idea. Maybe, like, if he, you know, he's kind of guaranteed that no one will catch him for the foreseeable future. So, honestly, Djokovic might be so hung up on that gold medal that he might actually say yes, I think.
Maybe, yeah. But I don't think he's going to want to jeopardize Wimbledon because Wimbledon still matters a lot. So, like, I don't see him, like, just...
I mean, the only things left for him,
I don't see that at all.
No, that's not going to happen.
Gold medal. Usurp Federer at Wimbledon. Maybe another Masters.
I think a good goal for him is try to win Olympic gold, try to win one more major. Really, like win one of the next three and win gold. Either one of the three.
Yeah, I mean, then it's just, I mean, yeah. All right, let's move over to the women because I do have a semi-surprise in my quarterfinals there. So let's see if I can do this quite quickly. I've got men's singles. Let's go over to the women's singles. I've also got Naomi Osaka as somebody I've sort of ringed as being an interesting person to look out for at this tournament. Mira Andreeva is also on my watch list, if you like, to see how she gets on here because she's going to be playing possibly on Jabeur, I think, if she gets through her first round. she'll play on Jabeur in a repeat, of course. There's a lot of repeats, actually, of matches that occurred in Australia or revenge missions that might be going on, and none more so than with Iga, of course. Iga got a tougher draw than Arena. Is that right, do we think? I mean, there are some issues for Sabalenka en route, but...
I mean, if we put Kenny in here in the first round, then it's literally Australian Open, right? We've got Collins, we've got Noshkova. So, yeah, it is pretty tough, but you would expect her to be able to handle it better on these courts and, like, you know, unimaginably better. Just have a very different level of comfort and just for these players not to be able to rush her like that. And I guess Keys or Alexandrova fourth round, that's also not easy. She's lost to both before. She struggled against both before. But yeah, I mean, with you guys, just kind of like in Australia, she had a tough draw, so you weren't sure. Here, you're just sort of sitting here thinking, okay, I mean, she has a tough draw, but like she can handle it probably.
Yeah. Do you agree, Vanch?
Yeah, pretty much totally agreed. I think she can handle it much better than Australia. But it's still tough, of course.
She might drop a set, which by her standards is something to keep an eye on, because often she's, you know, bageling and all the rest of it on route to the quarterfinals often at these tournaments. But it's trickier than it could have been. But like you said, I think I think Danielle Collins had her chance that day in Australia, 8-10 weeks ago, whenever that was. That was her moment to get that win, especially where Iga was at that point and how vulnerable she was, both in the match before, even against Kenin, and then, of course, latterly against Noskova. This is just ideal for Iga. And in fact, you know, if it starts to get windy or blustery or all sorts of things that can go on in Indian Wells, in fact, I've heard it's even been a bit chilly there today. I don't think that the Iga's possibly the person who can handle that. Probably better than anyone else on the tour. Of course, Rybakina semi-final is there. But maybe we'll talk about that in a few minutes, because I want to talk about some of the earlier stages. Any first rounders that sort of, or things that catch your eye in this sort of first couple of days of the tournament, Vanch?
First rounds, I mean, there is...
wild card matchup there.
Pedosa Kruger, is that what you're saying?
I mean, I don't think just about Pedosa anyway, because she's barely played since Rome.
No, but that is a good match.
Yeah, that is good. I mean, Osaka should get through that first match against Irani, you would think, right? I mean, that's...
Irani winning her third set in a bagel today in her second round of qualifying. And I've Osaka, by the way, let's have a quick look at her run, because she's somebody that I ringed along with Mira and Andreeva. I hope I'm going in the right direction for Osaka right now. I'm going up.
Yeah, Andreeva versus Jabeur is a possible round two, right?
Osaka is in the golf section, so lower down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have, I think, Osaka beaten golf.
Did you see that? Like, there was like a tennis.com expert predictions round table or whatever. And when I saw that, I wouldn't even enter this article usually, but I saw that they posted like stats on who went for whom in terms of the winner predictions. And when I saw that three people picked Goff, I was like, okay, yeah, it's an American outlet, sure.
Yeah, I three people out of how many?
9 maybe. I think it was 4 Rybakina, Goff 3, Świątek 1, Sabalenka 1. So aggressive. That's aggressive. I mean, I'm not saying Coco doesn't have a shot, but like against either of these other three women, I wouldn't like her chances too much.
And her form
in a direct match
since the US Open. I don't. She's not won a title. I don't know if she's even been to a final. She's kind of reverted to.
She's been okay. Besides the last two,
she's doing okay. Yeah, she's doing fourth in the world. Right. That's what she's doing.
She's won Auckland. She won Auckland, right?
Okay.
Semis of Beijing. Semis of World Tour finals.
I mean, no, she's doing Australia. Okay. I think she's doing fine. Okay. Yeah.
She's just. I don't think that she's broken through in the same way that many people think she has. I think she's.
Oh, of course not.
She was underwhelming for the first 6 months of 2023, culminating in that loss at Wimbledon. Then there was that sensational period that she had between, you know, I think it was Washington, Cincinnati, and obviously culminating at the US Open. But where we are now is kind of more the type. That's kind of the norm, and she'll win a 250 here and there, but we're not going into these events where she's in my thinking actually to win the tournament. Now, I could be wrong, and she might, you know, draws can open up and she might get lucky and she might end up being the best player over the next 10 days or so. But she's not in my thinking really as a potential winner. So, yeah, to have 4 out of 9 so-called experts is kind of surprising. Fancho, my
big there is a big gap. Sorry, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think we got it. What about you, Vanch on Coco?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm looking at her draw, and I think, but I also think like it's pretty doable for her to get to the, at least get to the fourth round against Naomi. But I don't know if it'll be Naomi. It could be Samsonova. Maybe Samsonova just has one of those.
That's the one, isn't it? Naomi Samsonova. Mm-hmm. I mean, who wins that one? You know, is could well be going deep. You'd expect Naomi to beat Irani, and then obviously the Samsonova one, and then one of those two you would, I would make as the favorite over the possibilities, whether it be Elise Mertens or Shmidlova or Wang.
Yeah, honestly, but I still think like a semifinal is very doable. And then if Goff plays against Sabalenka, you know, that's not an easy match for Arena. Like, I know the Australian Open, but like, that's not.
I agree. Not the only thing is with Coco,
it's more 60-40. It's more 60-40 for Sabalenka, but it's not like Coco has no shot. So
completely. But the problem is, Vanch, these ifs, buts, and maybes add up. And the 60-40s and the 50-50s, you know, we're not talking about Iga and Arena in the 50-50s and 60-40 scenarios like we are with players like Goff or perhaps Garcia or Qin Wen Zheng or various other sort of players in the next Pegula. Those are the players in the next conversation. That's why, because we're so confident and eager to win these matches, despite the fact that we have, think she's got a tricky draw. That's why she's in the conversation to win the title. And for me, Coco isn't.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. But, you know, I'm just trying to see who are like the potential nightmare opponents for Goff. Like that's what I'm looking at in terms of the bottom half. Because for Rybakina, I actually think, you know, maybe there are some questions. Like, maybe there are some tricky opponents here. Like, you know, she's got potentially Potapova, you know, Jasmine Paldini is playing well. Kalinskaya is in her section. Oh, yeah, Kalinskaya is in her section. There you go. That's another, you know, that's a possible upset right there. And it wouldn't even be that big of an upset. Like, if Kalinskaya beat Rybakina, would you be shocked? Probably not, right?
Indian Wells, it's tougher than on something like Dubai, Australia.
Sure, yeah. I mean, she should like these conditions because she's pretty tall and the ball won't get too high on her, especially when she's playing cleanly from the baseline. But, like, I don't know. Like, with the women's game right now, like, do you see anyone apart from... Let's say this. Do you see anyone apart from Sabalenka, Iga, and Rybakina winning this title? Because, no. Like, if all of them lose, I mean, if...
Like, I mean, it's again like Dubai, right? We were talking about it. Like, if they all lose, it's like total pandemonium and anyone can win it. And literally anyone. Like, literally then, I don't know, Alina Vanessian comes in to win this. And it's understandable. Like, I don't really see a problem with this because she would actually like the conditions. I chose her as a random example, but, you know, she
maybe actually... Maybe, like, Von Bersova comes out of her hibernation.
I've got, you know, Avanessian going quite far.
I totally get that. I'm actually Kasatkina second round. Well, I don't know.
I've got to beat Kasatkina.
What I'm trying to say is that there are certain WTA Tour events right now when, because we have such a big gap with the top three and the rest, you kind of have the situation where, like, yeah, Świątek, Rybakina, Sabalenka lose, anyone can win it suddenly. And Jasmine Paolini was the best example of that, really.
Yeah. And we might get another one or two tournaments like that, as Miles perhaps suggests in the chat. I know that Jean has Sabalenka losing to Svitolina, I think it is, in the fourth round, which would be a relatively early exit for Arena. Not quite as early as the most recent tournament, of course, that she played. But what do we think about that thought, Vanch?
It's possible, but it's really nice to get by Navarro first. And Navarro is a tricky player right now. So I think, I don't know who I would pick between Svitolina and Navarro right now. It's pretty tight.
But Sabalenka has to get through Jastremska.
Yes, Jastremska also. Who's,
yeah. Wasn't that potential obvious?
Actually, I'm also thinking this might be a big hot take, but maybe Sakari goes on a bigger run here than we are expecting because it is Indian.
That's
Wells
a hot take, Vansh. That's a hot take.
I know why, and I know exactly why. Vansh, tell me. I can tell you what Vansh is thinking, or Vansh can tell us what Vansh is thinking. Shall I tell you what you're thinking, Vansh?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, what am I thinking?
You're thinking David Witt has come in and he's going to start, you know, start doing certain things with their serve and mentality, and we're going to start to see that come on, and it's all going to come together, and she's going to make a run here in Indian Wells, possibly. Is that what you were thinking?
No, I mean, the thing is, she could lose to Schneider in the first match, but I could also see a scenario where she's all of a sudden like playing super loose and free, and like maybe she has more tactical clarity. You know, she likes these conditions. She's been here before. Like, I don't know how the heck Garcia is going to play in her section as well. Like, there's just a lot of unknowns. But I think, like, this venue and maybe this new coaching change. Yeah, so that was part of it. Yeah, you were onto something there for sure. But honestly, maybe she can get to the semis here. Maybe against Goff. I don't know. Like,
I mean, Schneider Bogdan second round. That's not amazing, you know. I think she has a very good chance of losing in the second round if she actually wins.
Yeah, like
Fernandez, maybe
second round is a tricky one, but like after that, I don't know, it's possible.
Fernandez,
I'm not that high on Pegula right now, that's for sure.
I'm suddenly very high on Leila Fernandez the last few months, and I know it's not natural for me, I know it's a surprise, but I kind of see her going deep here potentially.
I would if it wasn't for the loss in San Diego last week. Which was obviously
so what was the last because I forgot already.
It was to Tatiana Maria, but I'm more concerned about the injury that she sustained on her shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I forgot about that. So yeah, scratch that. I guess
that's my. Otherwise, I think she could do well here. I think if it wasn't for that, then it would just be a
dark horse. Blinkova, you know, against Pushkova in the first match. That's not going to be easy for Pegula as well. I don't know. Like, yeah, Blinkova, Sakari, one of these players. I think I could
see. Wait, so Pliskova can play Pegula in the second round. Okay, yeah. Actually, scratch that. Pliskova is my pick for the quarters now.
On these courts, we'll see.
I mean, she's done well. Hasn't she had a good run at Indian Wells some years ago? I mean, in her prime, she was definitely consistent, at least in Indian Wells.
Yeah. I have Andreeva going middle. That is, of course, going further than I think she's been before at a Grand Slam or a 1,000 event. I think she's not made a quarters yet, and I've got her in the quarters here, losing to Iga.
You're not alone in that prediction sort of round table that I mentioned. Someone actually picked Andreeva Goff final.
Really? Goff final.
Oh my gosh.
As I said, I mean, I think a lot of these predictions were like kind of, you know, I wish that will happen, but wish
hard overhead or something.
Yeah, I believe so. But I mean, I buy into Mirra looking good in Indian Wells. Yeah. I don't know where that will take her actually, but I do actually can like buy into that. She of course beat Jaber at the Australian Open. Ons is still not fully there. Wozniacki has been a little disappointing. I mean, Vekic, honestly, to me, has also not been too convincing despite a decent run right now in San Diego. Yes. So, I would say that Andreeva is actually a very strong contender for the quarters.
Pavlyuchenkova versus... Pavlyuchenkova is playing really well right now, actually. So I think
not a bad draw. Perhaps had Admire in the third round.
Hadad Maia is also one for me that I'm kind of circling. She's lost like her last four matches, but each time she's lost to the eventual winner. And like, these conditions should be decent for her.
And then Kostyukova and Drusova maybe in the fourth round for Pavlyuchenkova. So there's a potential quarterfinal there for her, I think. All right. Let's get to the absolute crux of the matter. Vansh, tell us why Maria Sakkari is winning Indian Wells.
Ooh. I never said Jim's gonna win.
I know. But tell us who, you know, if you had to put your house on it, who you think is gonna take that title.
Well, if I still have to put my house on it, then I'm still gonna go with Iga, just because, well, you play the percentage game and play the odds, then yeah, I still go with Iga, even with this draw, because I still think if she gets past you know, get that gauntlet of like Noshkova and the Alexandrova keys, and then her quarterfinal becomes, if it's not Ostapenko, it becomes easier. And then it's like, if Rybakina loses, you know, I'm kind of tempted to just pick Iga to win the title, but I don't really know. If you guys are on the same page?
If you don't know, go Iga. It's almost like if you don't know, go Novak.
Pretty much, yeah. Like you said, basically all the 1,000s except for Cincinnati, Dubai, and Madrid. That's kind of my approach right now.
Yeah, it's been a smart sort of strategy the past couple of years, I guess, because usually we have this situation where Iga is on top of the draw, and even if we like don't fully buy into her winning against Rybakina or Sabalenka, which in Indian Wells is not actually a thing. I mean, in Indian Wells, I totally get it. So usually she's been like the percentage play, right, when it comes to these titles, especially the WTA 1000 level. So I kind of get that, yeah. And by the way, Miles was talking about Pliskova needing a wild card. Of course, that was before her points came in for Cluj. So that's why she, the entry list, so that's why she needed that. But otherwise, yeah, I think Iga has been like the smart call in most of these situations. So I would probably say the same, you know, percentage-wise, she has the best chance. I love the courts for her. In Doha, she kind of showed that she is still the woman to beat on courts like this. Is the draw tricky? Yes, it's trickier than for some of her other contenders. Not that they have an easy situation in either, because as we mentioned, lots of good players in the Rybakina section. Sabalenka maybe, you know, the second round, I don't really think she's going to lose there, but yeah, Jastremska, Svitolina. So the main three favorites all have some dangers along the way, and it's kind of like, you know, which of these threatening players will actually step up and deliver on the day. For the most part, I would expect that, it might not be as, you know, at the Australian Open, where like everyone in the Iga draw is tough and everyone just, you know, just goes at her, right at her. I mean, they see a vulnerable target. Here, I would actually expect that she won't be as, you know, easy to attack, easy to pounce on. I have to say two things, though. Vansh, I'm surprised. I don't know. I mean, somehow you, I don't know, are you off your San Diego drugs? Because you still haven't mentioned Katie Bolter. You still haven't mentioned Marta Kostyuk. What the hell is going on? And also, we should record more often at this hour, because now I'm in lightest, shallowest Poland and you are sitting in the dark.
Deepest dark of San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, I am tempted to kind of just ride the wave of Bolter and Kostyuk a little bit, but I don't know if I really buy into her like beating Noshkova or Iga, just because like we haven't seen that, like how she's going to handle the conditions, and she seemed like really 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 happy when she won San Diego, you know, and that's like a great thing, but like it's such a quick transition now into these new like conditions, and I don't know, it's, I'm taking a wait and see approach. Kostyuk, I could actually see it doing really well, but then she's in that part of the draw where it's just like it comes down to those specific, like if she's playing a Vondrousova, and Vondrousova, these courts are pretty good for her, so maybe she's like another bold pick, not even that bold, maybe she just gets to the quarters or semis. But okay, I'm just saying a lot of fluff, but like honestly, I gotta like just come up with predictions now, like I just gotta do it. So I'll say three of the top four will get to the semis. The one that doesn't, in my opinion, is going to be Rybakina. I think Goff and Sabalenka will get to the semis. I think Iga gets to the semis. I think someone different will face Iga in the semi.
Okay. What's your thinking about Rybakina? Is it the fact that she is a bit inconsistent, perhaps?
Yeah. It's more of that. Also, defending champion. Also, like her draw, like maybe Kalinskaya or Paulini in the fourth round, maybe. But then also potentially Wizard quarterfinal. Yeah, it could be Haddad Maia. It could be Pavlyuchenkova, could be Kostyuk, could be Vondrousova. Like, I don't know if I'm like that confident of just penciling her into the semis right now.
Okay. I've got her in the semis. but I've got Iga beating her in the semis. Despite the fact I know that she has been a thorn in Iga's side, I just think that this is where Iga should most come alive. I don't really know. I know Nick loves to hang on the fact that she was kind of injured in that semi-final a year ago. And I guess there is some fairness in that, bearing in mind she pulled out the next couple of tournaments before going on a tear on the clay. I'm going eager to take the title, and I've got Rybakina in that semi-final. I've not got Coco there. I'm trying to remember who I did have in my semi-final. I've got Arena against someone. Someone's getting to that semi-final, but it's not Coco. I just don't remember who it is.
Maybe Azarenka. She's been a bit of a trendy pick I saw on Twitter.
I don't have Azarenka, no. Okay.
I mean, if you went boring, it could be Kinven as well, but
I haven't. Oh, I have got Kinven. Yeah. I was full. I went full boring, full Vanch. I injected a load of Vanch into me before I made my predictions, and had Kinven Zheng in the semis.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show where we basically just laugh at Vanch for his San Diego love and the bold predictions. Bold.
I mean, the thing is, Vanch says, "Oh yeah, you know, it could be one of those for Sakari and." Could this, but in the end, his semi-finals, apart from Rybakina, it's still like
I just don't see Sakari beating Sabalenka. So that was kind of
what Sakari beating Sabalenka? What?
I don't see that happening. Like she would need to beat Sabalenka in order to get to the semis. I'm not quite seeing that. So
oh yeah, because she's in the seventh one. Yeah.
Quarters is doable, but after that, I don't think it's.
I like that Azarenka peak now that I'm looking at it. Like maybe that would be a semi-finalist for me actually. Because that 5-6 section, if we assume that Goff is going to be pretty vulnerable, is like very like open for upsets. Then again, like Coco's second round, I think she'll get through. Third round, she get through. So it's like really on Osaka or Azarenka to beat her. Maybe Zheng, but I don't know actually. Have we seen this matchup, Zheng Goff? Maybe like once tops. Also, Vondroušová keeps getting mentioned here by Gene. Which is, you know, it is a selection. I think her section is kind of even if Kostyuk loses. Like, if Kostyuk loses, then anything can happen there in that eighth of the draw, if you may. And then, of course, it's like a question of whether she could actually beat Rybakina, Kalinskaya, someone like that. I would say Rybakina, it could be tough. But, if she beats Kostyuk, it's definitely quite open for her.
All right. I think we're going to bring this to a close. Looking forward to tomorrow. We'll have Nakashima against Eubanks, is it? I've forgotten now. You have to remind me.
Yeah.
What time is Andreeva? I'm wondering if we can do both because I think Nick is up for a match as well tomorrow. So Eubanks Nakashima is at, I'm going to stick with Central European time. 9:15.
Pretty much the same slot. Yeah, it's the second match.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll probably do just that one then. All right. Well, anyway, we'll have
maybe,
at least
maybe,
one
more. Maybe something else, you know, maybe another match will be doable
We could even do both at the same time. We'll talk, but we'll have one or two matches tomorrow anyway. And so you can make sure you can look forward to that. Make sure you like and subscribe and all that jazz. Give Vanch and Damien a follow on the social medias and you'll get to hear plenty more of their thoughts on, especially Vanch obviously saying how Maria Sakkari is going to win the next three Grand Slams. So, and me teasing him about it, even though he never said it. All right, cool. Let's finish this. So thanks for coming on and I'll see you soon.
All right. Yeah, this is fun. Bit chaotic, but I liked it.
We got a little bit of shade there from Vanch. Little shade. Just wanted to give a little drop shot there to end the match.
Yeah, he felt like he has to say something at the end. Yeah, because we kind of went overboard a few times.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming on board, and for everybody else, you know the drill.
If you enjoyed this video, make sure you hit that like button. Don't forget to subscribe and click that notification bell so you don't miss out on all things tennis.
Social Podcast Network.